Director Steve McQueen is perhaps best known for his Best Picture-winning film 12 Years a Slave and his 2018 crime drama Widows. But for his latest project, the British filmmaker decided to return home to direct not just one, but five films that make up the anthology series Small Acts. Together, the films tell mostly true stories of Black British life from the 1960s to the 1980s. The first part in the series, Mangrove, premieres this week on Amazon Prime and focuses on an undertold part of British history from the late 1960s. Here's how Steve McQueen describes the events that inspired his film.
There was a man called Frank Critchlow who opened a restaurant on All Saints Road in Labrogrove, Notting Hill, called Mangrove. This restaurant was for the West Indian community. It was like a home away from home. And this, it became a threat to the authorities for some reason. I imagine it became a threat because this is where intellectuals, thinkers, black thinkers were congregating, and that they wanted to disrupt and break up this sort of legitimate business because it attracted so many people who had ideas.
Eventually, Critchlow and other black leaders organized a demonstration to protest how law enforcement officials were targeting the Mangrove.
This demonstration, which took place, turned, unfortunately, into a situation where the police sort of infiltrated the crowd, and it was sort of deemed as a riot by the police. And 9 people arrested and charged with riot and affray, all because they were demonstrating their right to exist.
McQueen's film centers around the trial of the group, which became known as the Mangrove Nine. And all 9 of them were ultimately acquitted of the most serious charges. The trial included one of the first judicial acknowledgement of racism within the British police force. To learn more about the story and why McQueen chose to bring it to the screen, I spoke with the director alongside the actress Letitia Wright, one of the stars of Mangrove. And McQueen told me why the story of the Mangrove Nine has been so overlooked.
I used to lie on my living room floor, hands propping up my head, watching the TV. And often when my father's friends would come in, they would chat and talk. And one of those friends that used to come in a lot, in fact, my father grew up in a place called Paradise in Grenada with Roden Gordon. Roden Gordon was one of the Mangrove Nine. And I had no idea until about 15 years ago. No one spoke about it. And I don't know what it was, if it was a certain sense of trauma and not wanting to sort of revisit, had a lot to do with it. So it's in some ways, it's about people not actually communicating in it as well, because to go back, they had to deal with a lot of trauma. So it's understandable that often these stories aren't spoken about. I remember very clearly when I was doing the press for 12 Years a Slave, and we were in Atlanta. I think it was Atlanta. And this lady stood up and said to me that her father was poisoned for teaching children how to read. And she had never said that before. And she only said that because we were promoting 12 Years a Slave. So when people have an opportunity to speak, when they feel they're going to be heard, because so often they weren't, and they were not wanting to, people, she felt not there when they were not wanting to be heard. When there's a vessel, when there's an opportunity for people to be heard, then people will speak. And I think that's what it's about. There's so much drama and so much people sort of dealing with that. And therefore, I think I understand why things weren't sort of actually, you know, passed on often.
This film, or the films that you've created here, Steve, touch on racism, police brutality, and so many of the issues that are relevant to this moment right now. We've witnessed the uprising here in the United States against racial injustice in the name of George Floyd. And so, Steve, before I get to Letitia, where were you when you witnessed this?
Well, I was in Amsterdam. And I remember very vividly that there was one of the first demonstrations in Europe was in Amsterdam, where the mayor said that they're going to organize, mayor of Amsterdam sort of organized a demonstration in Dam Square. And the police thought there would be maybe 300 people there. So they only had, I don't know how many police there. I don't know, maybe they had 50 police, if that, there. 10,000, more than 10,000 people turned up in Dam Square in Amsterdam. It was incredible. The reverberations around the world. You saw what happened in Bristol with this sort of the statue of the slave being torn down. Everywhere, you know, around the world, it was echoed. So again, it's a world movement. Yes, it's a US. This is obviously George Floyd and whatever, but I think people are understanding it more and more and more.
Letitia, when you saw this movement start here in the United States and, to Steve's point, sort of make its way around the world, where were you?
I was here in the UK, and again, social media has a way of connecting us all for the good and for the bad too. And, you know, seeing this image and this video on your timeline and on your time, you know, your time feed, Instagram, Twitter, makes you really sad. And so I was here in the UK, and we were really remorseful with our brothers and sisters, you know, across the pond. And yeah, it was a sad time, you know, definitely a sad time.
And Letitia, how does it feel to release this film at a time when so many people around the world are continuing to take to the streets, maybe not at the levels that we saw back in May and June over the summer, but the film itself is about essentially about the right to protest?
Yes, we filmed this last year, and we didn't know what was around the corner in 2020, of course. And I remember when we got into Cannes, Steve called, you know, to be courteous enough to share the news with me and just let me know what was going on in terms of the reception of the film. And he said, it's crazy how life is imitating the art that we just created, and art is imitating life. And I remember just really taking that and coming off the phone, and again, just it hitting you that, you know, we set out to show and represent these stories that have been untold, and rightly so, by what Steve said, you know, due to traumatic experiences not coming to the surface, you know, at that time. And now the bravery for us to like step out and share it, and the necessity for us to step out and share it. And just looking at something that happened, the right to protest and the right to demonstrate when you're not treated fairly and with justice, and just taking a peek into what happened 50 years ago in Notting Hill. And now you have 2020, 50 years on, you're still having to conduct the same type of route in order to be heard. And for me, as a young person, seeing our world and just finishing this project and seeing the reception of it, again, you know, it's a hard one. It's hard because you feel sad. You feel sad that 50 years on, you know, after the mangrove demonstration, what they were fighting for, we're still fighting for today. And that says a lot about us as a society, that so much needs to change. And in the words of Althea in our project, like, enough is enough, like, it needs to stop. You know, we shouldn't have to take to the streets anymore because of prejudice, because of the color of my skin. I shouldn't have to do that anymore, but unfortunately we are. So it resonates. It wasn't our intention to kind of, we didn't predict that this was going to happen. It was just our intention to showcase the stories that have been untold. But as you can see, the same stories that have been untold and we're presenting to you, we now have them being replicated within our society today in some form and fashion. And it's sad. It makes me sad as a young person to see that.
When we're talking about life imitating art and art imitating life, when creatives of color enter very white spaces, both of you are Black artists working in a very white industry, and that's similar to here in the United States. Steve, in fact, you wrote a piece for The Observer this summer calling out the whiteness of the British film industry, and you said, quote, "The UK is so far behind in terms of representation, it's shameful." Here in the United States, we've often said, you know, Oscar's so white, for example, and we've seen some change. But what's your experience, Steve, been in terms of being a Black artist today, trying to change that industry from the inside?
Well, I'm very robust. I just get on with it. I just feel that, you know, stick my elbows out and bring some people with me. I don't really see them as white spaces. Yes, They are, but if I was to think adopt that, I don't think I'll be able to sort of, these are art spaces, and the fact that these are art spaces and that these spaces are unfair to people of color shows me it's not a healthy environment. So, you know, we have to change the environment. And, you know, how I do that is by work, is by, you know, you spoke to me earlier on about the whole idea of bringing stories in. And I said that I'm an artist, not a journalist. Now, what I mean by that is with Letitia playing Anthony LeQuant, I mean, it's a situation where she transcends and transforms into this performance that she did that can never be written in a novel, that can never be sort of documented within history, because you've got to feel it in a way of seeing it. You have to experience it through seeing it. And that's film for me. That's television for me. Well, the best sort of film and television, when you can actually get a situation where you're there sitting and witnessing a performance which can transcend and transform, and that you believing. And that was something that Letitia sort of did, which journalism can't do and literature can't do. And that's the magic of film in whatever guise, if it's streaming or in the cinema. And I think that's what we can offer culture. That's what we can offer with this medium, something other than those two examples I gave before.
Letitia, there is so much conversation, including this conversation, about Black struggle, Black resistance, and anti-Blackness in this world. And one of the things that's resonating a lot with me in particular is how resistance can also be translated into Black joy, and that joy in and of itself is a form of resistance. And I'm wondering, when it's so hard in this moment to feel optimistic about anything, is anything that you are doing giving you joy? Are you finding joy in this moment?
Of course. You know, I don't want it to come across as every Black experience is filled with tragedy and trauma and unhappiness, because that's not the truth. We are a worldwide global connection of the diaspora. So that in a sense is there's joy in so many aspects of who we are. Particularly, I would say yes, I experience joy just as anybody else would, you know. It's sad that, you know, that we are placed in this box of this thing where it's like you're just being seen as the race that's always seen as not happy or not being treated well. And that there's such a problem with that, because there is so much Black joy, and especially within small acts, you know, we do touch on the seriousness of prejudice and the seriousness of the issues that come to the forefront that we need to discuss and talk about. But embedded and interwoven into all of those scenes and moments is predominantly joy, because as human beings, that's who we are. At the core of who we are is joy, you know, joyful people. So we see that throughout small acts, not just in our film, but throughout all the films, we see beautiful moments of joy. We see people celebrating music, food. We see people just celebrating, you know, times of their family. You know, what causes that joy to be stifled is someone's choice to take that away from someone, is someone's mindset to rob someone else, another human being, of that. And for me, in terms of joy in my life, yes, of course, in this moment, in this time, yes, of course, you can find joy in every aspect of life.
Steve, what about you? How are you finding joy in this moment?
I'm feeling joy so much because people are speaking their truth, often for the first time in public. It's incredible. It's like it's a cascade. It's an avalanche. You know, it's beautiful. It's like let rivers flow. It's hearing these beautiful voices talking about, yes, pain, but also joy of actually being able to express themselves. So many people, I get the impression, have been sort of muffled, and now there's a release. It's beautiful. It's like, you know, I want to dance. It's kind of incredible. We always take tragedy and take it and make it into triumph. We've always done that. In everything that we've done in life, we've always taken things and made it into something special. That's who we are as bad people. That's who we are.
Steve McQueen is the writer and director of the anthology series Small Acts, and Letitia Wright is one of the stars of the series. Steve and Letitia, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.